TalkShop fans. It's Helen O'Brien, host of the TalkShop podcast. This podcast features various career paths and jobs in which a four-year college degree is not necessary. Now, I'm not saying that a four-year college degree is worthless, because it's not. But definitely consider some of these pathways. For some people, college just isn't their thing, and that's okay, because there's definitely some lucrative pathways out there that might work for you. With me on season 2, episode 9, is Marissa. She is an artist. You've got to check out this Jill of all trades. Now, she's not just any artist. She's a welder. She's a glassblower. She's a sculptor. And she's a fabricator. Taking all those mediums, she creates some really cool pieces of art. She creates some great architectural pieces. Now, let's jump in and talk shop with Marissa.
I have always really been interested in making and creating ever since I was really, really young, like 4 or 5 years old. I started making and building things. My dad was a contractor. So I grew up in, you know, the realm of construction. So it was always around tools and all that stuff. So that kind of is what inspired me into getting into making. And then from that, I kind of took the more artistic side of that. And that's why I went and got my sculpture degree from the University of Tennessee. And there I was, you know, able to learn welding, woodworking, casting, and a whole lot of, you know, different kinds of mediums. And from there, actually, once I graduated, I ended up working for a company doing concrete countertops for 3 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that business, and when I worked there, actually is what opened up a lot of different doors for me as far as networking while I worked there. And I did the majority of their fabrication while I was working for that company. Okay. So through that, I kind of learned a lot about owning a business, what it would take. And again, like being able to network and kind of get my name out there as well. So from there, I kind of decided that I wanted to start my own business, because I didn't really want to be doing concrete countertops forever. It's really, really hardcore work. Definitely not easy on your body. So from that, I wanted to, you know, take a different approach and kind of do something and offer people some, you know, very custom ornamental fabrication work. And so, you know, and the starting of my business obviously was very much me taking on pretty much any job I could get my hands on. So a lot of that was just basic fabrication work, which was really great for building up my portfolio and also, again, networking and getting my name out there a little bit more. So through that, I just kind of grown. And now I kind of have a lot more creative freedom and can be a little bit pickier when it comes to what jobs and stuff I take. So yeah, it's been a really hard and tough journey. I will say that, especially being a female in the industry. I mean, for anybody, male, female, it is a very difficult trade to be in general. But you know, I feel like there's this constant need from people for you to have to prove yourself to them a little bit.
Right.
And you have to have a very assertive and matter of fact attitude, you know, about yourself and your work. Confidence is a very, very important attribute to have. If you're not that way, it's very easy to get stepped on and walked over, which is something, you know, in the beginning of my business, I definitely dealt with that a lot. And it kind of took me a while to get comfortable and confident enough in my abilities and my work to, you know, stand up and be like, I know what I'm talking about, you know, and be able to walk onto a job site and, you know, kind of take position and in charge of what it is I'm there to do.
Right. You know, you said so much that I want to comment on and ask you more about, but
yeah, absolutely.
One thing you said earlier was that, you know, you had to take a lot of jobs on that you weren't necessarily interested in doing. And I think that's so common for so many careers and not, I mean, any career path. And it doesn't matter if you have a college degree or not. I think when you first start out, you really have to prove yourself. And, and sometimes you have to take those shit jobs to do and just to show I can do this, I can handle this. Right. But it's not forever. And that's one thing I think a lot of people don't understand is that, you know, you're not going to be shoveling snow forever or whatever it is. So you really do have to prove yourself. Just because you have a degree in college or you have a certification in welding or a certification, you're a, you know, licensed electrician doesn't mean that you can automatically walk onto a job and be like, my shit doesn't stink and bam, right?
Exactly. There is this kind of sense of like, you got to put your time in first.
Absolutely.
So you kind of have to establish that you are willing to work hard. You can do these things. You can do the shit jobs and you're willing to get to that next step, because there's nobody that can just jump in and immediately be making all the things they want to make. And maybe there are people, I'm not sure, you know, but for the majority of people, it's not going to be that simple. You know, and like you said, it can be discouraging at first for some people, I think, because, you know, and even for me, it was a little bit, because I was like, oh my gosh, like, I don't want to be working on welding go-karts or welding repairs or doing this forever, you know, and you just kind of have to push through that. And like I said, again, just kind of put your time in and it will pay off in the end. It ultimately does pay off in the end.
Sure. Absolutely. But,
back to my, you know, original thing I was saying, it is very, very difficult. It's not going to be an easy journey. So, you know, but like with anything you do, really, like whichever path you take in different, you know, industries, I'm sure it's the same thing. It's just a different level of difficulty than, you know, kind of what we deal with.
Exactly. Exactly. And when you talked about being a woman and having the confidence, I think having the confidence goes across the board, even for men. Like you, if you don't have that confidence, you will get stepped on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, like I said before, being male or female in this field, it is very difficult. And there is that, again, sense of proving yourself and earning that respect from other people. And even still, like I have to go in when I'm working with new people and stuff, I still, you know, walk in almost from that very beginning stage every time. And you just have to really be prepared for that and not let that discourage you in any way or make you feel less about, you know, what you've done or what you're doing. It's just kind of a part of it.
Well, yeah, it sure is. So you have you wear a lot of different hats. Mm-hmm. And I think let's kind of delve into some of those because some of my listeners don't completely understand. So you mentioned fabrication and you talked about fabricating concrete countertops. What is fabricating? I think I know, but I want to hear it from you. What exactly is fabrication?
When I think about fabrication, I think a lot about being, you know, accurate and precise. So a lot of that to me, you know, you'll go to a job site and there's a lot involved with fabrication that I feel like, you know, necessarily with my sculptural stuff and things like that, it's a little bit different. Like, you're kind of held to a certain standard, if that makes sense. Sure. So with most fabrication work I do, you know, I have to pay really close attention to measurements being square. Sometimes you need to make things that aren't square on purpose to fit, you know, a house that's being built where the walls, you know, a lot of times, especially with the concrete, doing countertops, you know, you have to go in, you're the last pretty much job on a new home building. So you're kind of coming in after all the mistakes were made on other people's ends, and you're having to make your piece fit those mistakes without looking like it is a mistake.
Sure.
Which can be very tricky. And I think, you know, that's one of the big things I tell people whenever I'm teaching people about things, especially when it comes to beginner fabricators and stuff, you can't just learn to make things square and perfect, because there are going to be situations where you need to make things not square and perfect, but make it look like it is square and perfect.
Sure, I know, it makes total sense. Yeah.
So yeah. There is an art to it in a sense. So walking into situations, especially on a job site and, you know, taking tons of measurements. I love template building. That's one big thing that has saved my life a lot of times, and keeping you from going on a job site multiple occasions just to make sure, you know, you have everything correct, or even potentially redoing jobs, which has happened to me before, where I, you know, forgot a certain measurement, or, you know, didn't lay something out exactly right. And then you put it in place and it's like, whoa, you know, you can instantly see everything that's wrong with it, especially coming from your own eyes. Maybe not everybody else is as, you know, particular with that eye, but.
Well, we are all our own worst critic, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So with fabrication, do you need any kind of certification or anything, or is that just kind of something you learn on the job?
So I actually have gotten away with not ever really necessarily needing any sort of certification as far as like having some sort of welding certification or anything like that. A lot of times, you know, you obviously have to worry about any sort of building codes. Sure. And regulations that, as far as that goes, and, you know, being up to date on those and doing your research is really important. So you can get yourself in trouble, and maybe some people that don't have those certifications might not be aware of those things, which could make it, you know, a little bit tricky in the beginning. But I mean, you don't necessarily, I would say not, you wouldn't necessarily need one. There are certain companies that commercial wise you might work for that would understandably want you to have some sort of certification, especially if you're doing any sort of large structural welding or fabrication work for their house. Then definitely you probably would need some sort of certification in that. But as far as like the stuff that I've done, I haven't necessarily had to have a specific certification for that.
Sure. Okay. You are like a Jill of all trades. So we just talked about fabrication. And then you're also a glass blower.
Yes.
And you're also a sculptor.
Mm-hmm.
And which comes from your fine arts degree, and probably more so. Yes. And then you're also a welder. So, I mean, that's a lot that you can
do.
Right. And you're working with your hands and you're being very artistic. I've seen some of your projects, which are very cool. You had some great, like a rail in an outside restaurant or something recently. And I thought, oh my gosh, that is really nice. So you're using your artistic mind to create these things, and you have your own company and it's called Mars Fabrication.
Yes.
Right. And Mars, just for everybody to know, it's not like the planet Mars. It's Mars as in Marissa, because that's your first name.
Yes.
I just realized that. And so having your own company, I mean, do you have kind of like carte blanche to come up with this stuff, or do your customers come to you and say, this is kind of the look and feel I want, but I'm not really sure? How does all that happen?
So it kind of goes a little bit of both ways, and it really varies depending on the customer as well. I will have certain people that come to me with a solid concrete idea that they want this, this, and this. And, you know, then I come up with a quote, an estimate, and I execute it for them. And then some people will come to me with, you know, just a couple ideas or things that they've seen on Pinterest or whatever. And, you know, they're like, hey, can you come up with something cool for my space? This is kind of my style and, you know, what I'm looking for. And then, you know, I start to design up something. And it can be a kind of long process sometimes, because I can come up with multiple. Most of the time I never just come up with one idea. I try to give my customers a lot to choose from, just so that way I know, you know, they can decide and pick their favorite. And, you know, sometimes they even pick an idea and tweak it a little bit.
Sure.
So it really depends. And then I get lucky every once in a while and get a customer that allows me to have my own creative freedom and kind of just do what I feel is best. And actually, with that railing in particular you were talking about, it was for a bar patio and they wanted it to be removable sections, so that way whenever they have performances on the stage, you know, they could take it off, easily remove it, easily put it back together. And they have a mural that's on that back wall. And they kind of said, you know, just here's the vibe, create something that fits in into place here. And that's how I came up with that design that you saw. And that was actually one of my more favorite pieces because it was a lot of fun to make. And, you know, ultimately it looks really well in the space. And I think it was a unique idea for them to want to have, you know, something that's actually removable, very functional and very aesthetically pleasing at the same time.
Right, right. You know, your real title, Marissa, is artist.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
You are an artist and you use all these different mediums to bring your art together.
Absolutely. Yeah, my passion for sure definitely lies in the more artistic side of things.
Sure.
I'm also a little OCD and ADD at the same time, which gets me in trouble sometimes, but so I'm always constantly wanting to work with my hands and build things. So that naturally, you know, comes into play. Definitely I steer more towards the side of wanting to make things artistic, even when it comes to my basic fabrication work. Like I said, there is an art to it. And I really focus on that point the majority of my work.
Right. Can we talk about welding for a little bit? Because I have run across so many different career paths where, and people I've already interviewed, where they have this welding experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such a hot commodity right now, welding.
Absolutely. Like,
you know how to weld, you could probably work anywhere.
Exactly. Yes. There are so many opportunities in welding. And I mean, it skims from, you know, just welding in your garage and, you know, making little knickknacks to working on cars, to working in a, you know, big industry company, doing manufacturing, pipe welding.
Right.
The list goes on and on and on. And, you know, that's the one thing whenever I was teaching last semester, I was actually teaching intro to welding.
Oh, and, wow.
And, you know, I told my students a lot, you know, like you don't have to necessarily brand yourself to one path. There are so many opportunities out there available for welders. And I mean, even if you aren't wanting to use it as a career path, I think it's an amazing thing to just know how to do.
Absolutely.
You can, you know, pretty much at that point, be really, really self-sufficient as far as, you know, fixing things, building things, making things for yourself. And it's just a really, really awesome thing to be a part of. It's a great community of people, totally so many people, you know, especially a lot of the people I follow on Instagram and stuff do some very inspiring work. And it's just a really awesome, unique, fun, and endless amounts of, you know, opportunities to make.
Absolutely.
Whatever you can think of, really.
Yeah, right, right. I interviewed Punny Hickster. So it was Clara for episode one, I think, of this season.
Uh-huh.
She's the pipe fitter.
Yeah.
And she told me in her interview that because she had this welding experience, or I think she went off to community college and she thought, oh, I'm going to take a class in welding. And I think she ended up getting certified. And So she had that on her resume. So when she applied to become a pipe fitter, she said her application like rose to the top because she had this welding experience. Right. Yeah.
And, you know, I actually had some people that were in my class too, that just came back to get that welding experience because they could have been promoted a long time ago and moved up in their company and stuff if they would have had that welding experience and knowledge of that. And it really is super important in a lot of different fields. So like being able to do that does open up so many more doors as well.
Who knew? I had no idea. No idea. So you're teaching a class in welding, and where are you teaching that?
So I was teaching that at Pellissippi State Community College. So it's a community college that's right down the street from where I live in Knoxville, Tennessee. Okay. So yeah, it was an amazing experience. I really enjoyed teaching. I would love to actually eventually get to a position where I can kind of open up my own little kind of workshop space and teach, you know, different workshops, extended, you know, lessons, private short-term lessons. And that's kind of a really big dream and goal of mine that hopefully happens sometime in the next 5-ish years.
I'm sure it will. You're a go-getter.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, I really enjoy sharing, you know, any sort of knowledge that I have with other people, and just getting more people into this industry and this field, because I do feel like as it does seem abundant right now, I do think we need more people in it. Mm-hmm. And I think that a lot of people are kind of just maybe intimidated or worrisome about it. And I want to kind of help encourage people to, you know, kind of get past that point and see all the wonderful and amazing things that actually can come from it. So that's definitely a big, big dream of mine to continue to share and open people's eyes to how great it really is.
Right, right. No, I think that's a great dream. You know, another one is welding out on oil rigs.
Yeah.
Those people make a boatload of money.
Yeah, you can make such great money, have great benefits.
Yeah.
There's so many opportunities out there. Like I said, I know it seems like it's abundant right now, but I could, you know, there's tons of local, you know, people that are looking for welders exactly for positions like that right now. And absolutely, you can make a really, really good living doing this work. So it's definitely something for people to think about and know that's out there.
Right, right. So for the listeners, I mean, if any of these things, you know, welding, fabrication, all these community colleges in the United States have some really great classes, and it may not be something super close to you. You might have to look a little bit outside your radius, but there's so many great classes out there. And just trying to take a class in one thing, you might say, this isn't for me, and then you'll know, or gee, this is really cool. I think I'm going to explore this even more.
Right. Yeah. And I think people should, like I was saying, you know, it is kind of intimidating a little bit, thinking like, oh, you know, welding, it's really hard and there's sparks and hot heat, right. And, you know, and I think a lot of people too, especially getting first into welding, because, you know, you go through all the safety stuff first. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people get kind of scared away in that first bit of safety courses, because we do have to tell you all the bad things first. You know, we do have to let you know, like, this could happen. And it is very dangerous, just like, you know, anything else. Driving your cars can be dangerous. Mm-hmm. You know, so I kind of try to like tell people like that, you know, and accidents do happen. But, you know, if you take the proper precautions, do all the, you know, safety PPE and everything, you know, obviously that minimizes your chances of anything happening. But, you know, once you push past that part of it, and even the first beginning learning, because nobody's going to be really good at it in the beginning. So kind of getting past that, it really can open your doors. And it might not be for everybody, you know, it might not be for some people and they might just not like it. But I do think, I do want to encourage people to kind of get past that first initial class or whatever it is they might go choose and take, because it does get better from there.
Right.
Well, I promise. And it does take a minute to, you know, build your skills up.
Get
your hands working right, you know, and being able to have an eye for it and a feel for it. It is very much like you kind of listening and working with the materials. So yeah, I think more people should definitely at least give it a shot.
Absolutely. Plus you get to wear a cool mask.
Yeah. I mean, the welding helmets and stuff are awesome.
Yeah. Oh, helmet. I should say. Yeah. Helmet. Yeah. They're awesome.
And you've got sparks. It's just like a party, you know, a 4th of July party.
Right. Okay. So tell me about the glass blowing. Cause I've seen you doing some of that. Mm-hmm. And that's all part of your being an artist, but
yes.
And it was that kind of self-taught too, or did you just kind of pick things up?
So that actually, I worked with this company, Pretentious Glass Company, and I actually interned there in college and did a bunch of metal fabrication work, actually helping them build out their business. And from that, you know, I got to know the guys there. And they kind of needed help at some point and asked to bring me on and kind of teach me some things just to help assist. And then from there, I fell in love with the process and just dove in and just began to learn more and more and more. So now I help them out all the time and, you know, do a lot of their production work, and they do a lot of more sculptural artistic work as well. And then obviously in my free time, utilize their facilities to kind of create my own artwork and pieces as well.
Yeah. Now, and for my listeners, Marissa has a great Instagram page. So you have some really cool videos on there of you doing the welding, of the glass blowing. What's your Instagram page, Marissa?
So it is @killer_Mars. So yeah. Killer Mars.
Killer Mars. Yes. She's a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So definitely take a look at some of the videos, because they're very cool.
Then you can kind of see a little bit more of the process and how things are done. I really like for people to kind of see beginning to end. I also, you know, include my sketches and things like that sometimes. So that way, you know, you kind of get all aspects of it and not just like the final product or just me working on it. You kind of get to see the whole process from kind of start to finish. And, you know, just see a little bit into my life and what I do on a daily basis.
Right. And see, maybe if someone's interested, that's a great place to kind of watch and see what you're doing. And is this something that I could do? That's what you have to ask yourself.
Well, and Instagram is a big place for inspiration. Like I was saying earlier, you know, I love getting on there and seeing what other, you know, awesome fabricators, glass blowers and stuff are doing, because it inspires me to work harder and challenge myself and try new things. So it's definitely a good avenue for that as well.
It's very good for that. There's a lot of inspiration on there, and Pinterest, like you were talking about.
Oh, earlier. I love it.
Yeah. What do you think, you know, and it's, I want to go back for a second. Your dad sounds like he could have been your mentor, because doing construction, being brought on job sites and stuff, and you see him doing these, you know, creating, I'm sure that he was probably a mentor for you.
So me and him, you know, he inspired me to want to kind of build and create things. And he's kind of an artist in his own way, building houses, you know, and making his customers happy. And that's something that's really satisfying to him. And he's obviously, you know, super proud of me coming into the realm of, you know, a little bit of what he does, you know, maybe a little bit different, but kind of the same. He definitely was a big inspiration as far as, you know, wanting to create things and kind of push myself and challenge myself. Him being a business owner as well kind of inspired me in that way too, to kind of open up my own business. And then, you know, my mom actually is my probably number one motivator and role model. She definitely was the one that always allowed me to be more creative. She always, you know, gave me tons of opportunities to learn and pushed me definitely throughout my life to continue striving and working harder. You know, if it wasn't for her, I honestly probably wouldn't be where I am today. So she's definitely my biggest mentor and inspiration for sure. But yeah, they definitely both played a big part in obviously where I'm at now.
Right. That's very sweet. I hope she listens to this.
Yeah. I'll tell her about it and she'll get on and watch it, I'm sure.
That's good. Do you have any funny stories or anything that from over the years? Some people have some really great stories about customers or dealing with people or just maybe some incident that happened.
Funny, let's see. I'm not really sure. There is one thing I guess I could touch on that might not necessarily be comical or anything, but some experiences that I've had that maybe I feel like I should shed a little light on a little bit to some new people that might be getting into the field. There are some customers you're going to get that you want to fire, you know, there are, and I think, you know, for a while, it kind of took me a long time to understand that concept. Cause I am a people pleaser and I really do want to try to make everyone happy. But there are times where, you know, you just can't. And I did have a customer in particular once, where they wanted me to do a railing for, the interior of their stairway. And, the husband wanted something very artistic and the wife wanted something very traditional. And I gave them, you know, an abundance of ideas and they both chose a complete opposite designs and had me build up, you know, a bunch of different, mock railings for them. And, it just got to a point where I was spending a lot of time trying really, really hard, to do something that I just ultimately knew wasn't going to please them no matter what I did necessarily. So I did get to a point where I was like, you know, I don't feel like maybe I'm the right person for this job for you, because I don't want to put something permanent in someone's house that they're not going to be happy with. You know, I want them to walk by and look at something and, you know, love it and love being in their home. Mm-hmm. I just felt like for these people in particular, I wasn't going to be able to do that. And there has been a couple times with other people that it's kind of happened too. And I've realized through that, like sometimes you do have to step back and know when and when not to do certain things.
Sure. And you're in the position now where you can say, you know, I don't think this is the right job for me.
Right. Absolutely. And it does take you a minute to get there. So again, maybe not at first, you know, for some people, you know, but even then there are going to be some people, you know, you just don't necessarily want to work with because you don't want to put yourself in a bad position either. And especially, you know, I'm sure male and female, but there are some people as a female, I feel like do try to take advantage, you mm-hmm. know, of you in a sense. And especially me when I was starting off my business, them knowing I'm starting a new business, I'm young, mm-hmm. I'm a female, you know, it's
a pushover. Yeah,
exactly.
Take advantage of her. Yeah,
exactly. And I've had to stand up more than I'd like to yeah. certain people and just kind of, you know, have that assertive attitude. And so yeah, that is one thing that I would like to shed some light on, because I think a lot of people get in and, you know, think like, and it's not just that you can't do something. It's just people are different and people like different things. And you might just not be the person for the job to satisfy that particular customer, you know, and it's okay to not be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A lot of times too, people don't really know what they want and they're coming to you to help them decide that. And that's really not your decision. And you kind of get put into a spot.
Yeah, absolutely. And that, and actually, now that you said that, that's another thing that I would like to shed some light on too, is, you know, people do come to you and they might have like a little bit of an idea, and then you end up putting all this time and effort and energy into all these designs and stuff, and then going back and forth. And this taught me to charge a design fee. And this kind of keeps people from kind of nitpicking things so much and, you know, maybe thinking more on exactly what they want first before coming to you. Because, you know, I am spending time and using my creative abilities to come up with these ideas and stuff. And it is something that people should get paid for.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and I think a lot of customers might have this, they don't think of it that way. You know, they're not thinking of the fact that you are spending time and designing and coming up with these ideas. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just approaching that in the upfront with people is very important as well. Like, mm-hmm. I always tell people, you know, like if they come to me with this idea, I'll be like, you know, as long as, you know, I come up with one idea and you approve it, and we can move from there, then, you know, I won't charge you a design fee. But if I come to you with a design and, you know, you kind of want to make a bunch of changes and then I spend more time on it, then I will have to have a sort of design fee laid out for you.
Right.
And then that way they know, you know, okay, well, maybe I'll spend more time just kind of figuring out what I want first and then come back to you. Or they're okay with being like, okay, yeah, no, that's totally fine. I will pay you a design fee, you know, because that's what I want. But
yeah. Right. Yeah, I get it. My cousin is an architect and is a woman, same sort of thing. It's like, she gets a lot of people coming and saying, well, we want to do an addition.
Mm-hmm.
Period. End of sentence. And it's like, right. Okay, so what are you thinking?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, and communication again is just so important, and being really upfront with customers is really important, and they appreciate it. They really do ultimately end up appreciating it. So, you know, and just, again, having that confidence and assertiveness a little bit, you know, just to say like, hey, you know, let them know, like, you're not here to do everything unless they're willing to pay you for it, then absolutely. But, you know, just kind of cover those bases first and kind of walk them through it.
Right. And being as transparent as possible. And you are very transparent. I can tell. Just here it all is laying it out on the table. Right.
Exactly.
So you work a lot with, contractors and architects. You do. Okay. And then So how do you get your business? Just word of mouth?
Yes. Word of mouth has been how I've gotten all my business so far. So again, the first, you know, few years of me working with that company, doing concrete, I was able to network and meet tons of people. And I also worked for an architect, doing some of the fabrication and woodworking for him. So had contacts there. And then also, you know, at the glass company, people come in and kind of watch us and stuff. So I, you know, any opportunity I get, I'm networking. I'm always, you know, talking about my business and what I can do, and, you know, letting people know I'm here, and hoping that, you know, that gets me work. And somehow, luckily, it has just worked out magically. I don't really know how else to put it, but definitely, like, it's weird. Like, one job ends and somebody will be calling me for another job, you know? And COVID, when that hit, you know, it was a little bit more difficult, and my business did slow down. But, you know, everything kind of slowed down in that time period. So it was kind of funky and weird during that, but, you know, everything's kind of picked back up to a normal pace now, which is great. But I've worked with all kinds of other local fabricators as well. You know, we collab, and whenever, you know, somebody else needs an extra hand on a big project, I help them out. So, you know, we're a really great community here in Knoxville, very like not competitive. We all help each other out, and we all have our own niche that we kind of work in. So it's very much so a build each other up type attitude around here, which has helped, you know, my business and so many others, because we do, like, if somebody comes to me and they have an idea for something and I know somebody else that would be really great at that job, I'm like, oh, call this person, you know? So we all kind of do that for each other. So it's been able to work out really great as far as for my business and everyone else's locally, I think so.
Right. Well, and that's how it should work, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And I, you know, this is just my area specifically I'm talking about. So I'm not necessarily sure how it is everywhere else.
Yeah.
I'm very lucky and grateful for, you know, the community I have here. So I hope everybody else has a great community like that too. But if not, Knoxville's awesome. So.
So going back to high school, do you think, is there anything that you would do differently from between then and now than what you've done?
I honestly don't think so. I think everything that has, you know, kind of happened to me has led me to where I am. Mm-hmm. So I'm super thankful for how everything has turned out. So I'm not sure what I could have necessarily done differently that would help me be in a different place or better off. You know, I wish I would have given myself a lot more confidence than I had, you know, right out of high school and stuff. You know, I was just not knowing what I was doing and very much scared and afraid. So if anything, I would want to, you know, kind of give myself a little insight that, you know, I can do it and it's going to work out. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think that for me, as far as the steps I took to get here, it worked out and benefited me the way I went with my path. And not everybody needs this, that same sort of path, you know.
Sure.
I'm a very, again, like I said, OCD and like ADD person. So I really needed the discipline of being in school and having that structure to kind of keep me in line.
Yeah.
But not everybody else needs that, you know, like, right. And this is definitely a field in an industry where you don't necessarily need that.
Right.
So, you know, for those people out there listening, you know, you don't have to go to a university or whatever to get to where I'm at today. You know, you can do it in a totally different way. And it can work out for you. You just have to, you know, obviously put the time in, work really hard and just dedicate yourself.
Yes. Put the time in. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Mm-hmm. They just think, oh, I'm going to create this Instagram page or whatever, and I'm going to be a hit overnight.
Yeah. No, it doesn't work like that.
No, you really do have to put the time in no matter what you're doing.
I mean, I'm still putting the time in to this day, and I have no days off. I spend any free time I have. You know, if I'm not working blowing glass, I'm in my shop. And if I'm not working on a project I'm getting paid for, I'm making something else just for myself. And I push myself to continue with that. Again, I need discipline. So for me, if I don't have something going on or something, you know, I just always have to be working and doing something, building something, and having.
I'm the same. Yeah, I always have to have a list.
Exactly. Absolutely. Lists are so important.
So important. You know what we didn't really talk about was sculpting, and I know it goes in, you know, part of the glass blowing and the welding. But did you want to talk a little bit about the sculpting? Because I know that that was something that you were really passionate about early on.
Yeah. So I absolutely love sculpting, and actually how I really decided I wanted to get into sculptures. So I initially knew I wanted to do something with art. I wasn't sure. I wanted to make things. And I took this 3D class and when I was in community college, and they made us do a cast a plaster block and then carve something out of it. And it was so satisfying to me to draw up a design and then carve it and then look at it in a three-dimensional thing that I can touch and feel, you know, and put my hands on. And something about that just like opened up my mind to all these possibilities. And that's really where I decided I wanted to, you know, make and create these works of art. And, you know, a lot of it, I quickly realized after college, you know, it wasn't going to necessarily make me a living. Right. Making my sculptures and selling them, that just like, you know, was kind of a little out there as far as that goes. You kind of have to establish a name first, you know, and maybe eventually I'll get to a point where I can, you know, which I do sell my work, but it's not definitely not paying the bills.
Sure.
So I did use that avenue of creativity to, you know, start the fabrication business. But I love sculptures. I'm working on several different sculptures right now. And I like to combine the mediums together as well, which is one thing that I really enjoy doing, kind of pushing the materials and seeing how they work together.
Of all of your different mediums, do you have a favorite tool?
Okay. So I actually got this question asked me the other day, and the only real answer I could come up with would be my hands.
That's a good one. Yes.
My hands are my favorite tool. They're my most important tool because I can work in all these different mediums and all these different realms of, you know, art, sculpture, and everything. And without these bad boys,
yes.
I wouldn't be able to do anything. And they're really great because I can train them to do things differently and train them in a way that, you know, your hammer or whatever can't necessarily, it does its job and it's got that job to do. So pushing that tool to a different levels, you know, obviously with some tools, I mean, you can, but you know, My favorite tool is definitely my hands.
Yeah. You had a post recently about you were working on something. I don't know if it was glass blowing or welding. And you were talking about, I need to work with my hands to turn a certain way.
Yeah. So with glass blowing, actually, in particular, is what I was talking about. So whenever you're first getting into glass blowing, if you're right or left-handed, you have to work with both hands very simultaneously, work with them together. They have to flow. And, you know, unless you're very ambidextrous, it's something difficult to grasp at first. So I think, you know, in that post in particular, I was saying, you know, I spent the past 28 years training my right hand to do everything. And now I've got to catch up my left hand and start training it all, you know, all
yeah.
the that I should have been doing both with both. So again, which is another reason why it's my favorite tool, because now I'm able to train this left hand to do all the things that I need it to do to be able to accomplish the things in glass or, you know, metal or whatever else I may be doing. But yeah, specifically with glass, you're definitely working with both hands, and it's really important to get them on the same page. So yes, I've got a lot of work to do as far as that's concerned.
Yeah. Well, work in progress, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think your projects or your finished pieces of art or finished pieces of work are suffering because of that. They all look fabulous.
Thank you.
Yeah. What do you think being an artist, having your own company, what three qualities do you think you need to be successful in this role? I have a feeling I know what one of them is going to be, but I'm going to let you talk.
Definitely determination is one. Mm-hmm. You cannot let things discourage you or dampen your spirits. And don't be comparing yourself to other people, which is really easily to do in, you know, our society and world today. So, having that determination, setting goals for yourself and trying to accomplish them is something that's very, very important as far as being an artist, fabricator, or, you know, really anything. And I would say, you know, being open-minded is something that's going to be really, really important as well. You are always going to walk into different situations, even if you are doing production style work or pipe welding. Every situation and job you do is going to be different. So having an open mind to, you know, to that, learning, definitely being, you know, open-minded to learning new skills, and, you know, allowing new opportunities to, you know, come into your field. it's definitely important to have this, you know, not closed off idea of things. And I guess the last trait I would say would be, again, that confidence. You know, you kind of have to believe in yourself. And even if, you know, it's kind of that fake it till you make it aspect as well, because, you know, for a long time, I didn't have that confidence. Mm-hmm. And I pretended like I did, but I definitely didn't always have the confidence in my abilities and stuff. But keeping that confidence and just encourage yourself, you know, which I know can be really difficult and hard, especially when you're first learning things, and it is going to be hard and you're figuring things out, you're training yourself, you're not going to be good at everything at first. But having confidence in the fact that, you know, and you are determined to get things done. So if you have that determination, your confidence will follow with that. And then just, you know, having an open mind to things.
Three really great things. It was the confidence one that I thought that you were going to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, all really great. And I love fake it till you make it. That's really important.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. This has been so wonderful. Thank you so much, Marissa. I really appreciate your time. You can find Marissa, as she said earlier, on @killer_ uh-huh. Mars on Instagram. And, you know, her website is it Mars? Go ahead.
Mars-fabrication.com.
That's right. Which is also on your profile of your Instagram, correct? Yes. Yeah. So you can link from there. Thank you so much. I wish you the best of luck in your career. And
thank you so much. Absolutely. It's been such a pleasure talking to you. And thank you for allowing me to, you know, share my story and hopefully encourage and inspire other people to, you know, get into this field or maybe do something else entirely. I don't know, you know, but hopefully it does help somebody out along the way.
I think it will. Thank you for listening to Talk Shop Podcast. You can follow on Instagram and Facebook at talkshop.podcast. Until next time, get out there, baby. Lock in, dig in, and have no regrets. Always lead by example.